I'm going to spread the news about the Florida boys. Shove it over. Hey, 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 can't you line it? Oh, shack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a. Can't you move it? Hey, hey, can't you try?
In the 1930s and 40s, writer, folklorist, and anthropologist Zora Neale Hurston was a celebrated figure of the Harlem Renaissance. Hurston is best remembered for her 1937 novel, Their Eyes Were Watching God, the story of Janie Crawford and her soulmate, Tea Cake. Hurston's other novels include Jonah's Gourdvine, the story of an unfaithful man and his tolerant wife, Moses, Man of the Mountain, a retelling of the biblical story of Moses, and Seraph on the Swanee, Hurston's only book with white people as main characters. As an anthropologist who studied under the renowned Franz Boas, Hurston published two collections of folklore, Mules and Men and Tell My Horse. Hurston also wrote dozens of short stories, essays, and dramatic works. By the time Hurston died in 1960, she was broke, forgotten, and her books were out of print. Today, Zora Neale Hurston is again recognized as an important 20th century writer. In 2018, her book Barracoon, written in 1927, was published for the first time. Since 1990, a festival honoring Hurston's literary legacy and impact on culture has been held in Eatonville, Florida. Hurston grew up in Eatonville, the oldest incorporated town entirely governed by African Americans. N.Y. Nathiri is founding director of the Association to Preserve the Eatonville Community and the Zora Neale Hurston Festival of the Arts and Humanities.
For Zora Neale Hurston, Eatonville represents the quintessential cultural impact that people of African ancestry, particularly rural Southern people in this country, contribute to the culture of the United States. And because she grew up in Eatonville, an all-black community, where there was not artificial lens of viewing people, as she says in Mules and Men, in Eatonville you got what your strengths brought you. If you were an energetic, aggressive, productive person, then that's who you were. If you were a lazy, no count, ne'er-do-well, that's who you were, and you couldn't use as an excuse what they or the outside society did to you or against you. And at the same time, as a trained observer, as a person who had studied under Dr. Franz Boas, a father of American anthropology, as a person who had access to her native village and that community, she recognized the beauty, the intrinsic beauty of the people of her heritage group. And not only recognized that beauty, but was able to present it in a way that others can recognize it. Perhaps not so much during her lifetime with her contemporaries in Harlem, some of whom thought that she was entirely too folksy. But the point is that work that is truly of merit lives. And today, Zora Neale Hurston's work, her literature, her genius is acknowledged and celebrated throughout the literary world.
Zora Neale Hurston's literary career began even before she graduated from Barnard College in 1927. In 1925, Hurston's short story Spunk was included in a respected anthology called The New Negro. While attending college in New York, Hurston worked with Harlem Renaissance contemporaries including Langston Hughes and Wallace Thurman on the literary magazine Fire. After earning her Bachelor of Arts degree in anthropology, Hurston continued her graduate studies at Columbia University. In 1929, Hurston moved to the quiet town of Ogalle in Brevard County, Florida, to write her first and most important collection of African-American folklore. Florence M. Turcotte is literary manuscripts archivist at the University of Florida.
Zora came to Ogalle in April of 1929, and her goal was to find a little place where she could write and she could have peace and quiet. She found that in a one-room cottage here in Ogalle, and she rented it. She had a pretty good rental agreement, and she used that time to fish in the Indian River and to enjoy nature, and she put together her folklore stories in a book which was published called Mules and Men.
Virginia Lynn Moylan is author of the book Zora Neale Hurston's Final Decade, published by University Press of Florida.
The book Mules and Men was published in 1935 and was essentially a nonfiction account of Hurston's adventures and experiences as a folklorist and anthropologist in the late 1920s and early 1930s. It's divided into two sections. The first section is devoted to her experiences in Eatonville collecting folklore and includes 70 of her glorious folktales, including why women always take advantage of men. The second section covers the period that she did research in New Orleans into hoodoo religion and practices and even became a priestess. And the book is important not just from the standpoint of its entertainment value, but it was the first book of folklore that recorded the tales exactly as they were spoken. And today it is still considered the preeminent collection of African American folklore.
In 1937, Zora Neale Hurston wrote her best-known and much-loved work, Their Eyes Were Watching God. Flo Turcotte, Lynn Moylan, and N.Y. Nethery.
Their Eyes Were Watching God is just, it's history, it's fiction, it's pathos, it's tragedy, all rolled up together in one incredible literary gem. And making history come alive is sort of what I'd like to do, and what Zora, that's what excites me so much about Zora, is that she fictionalized real life and said a lot about the human condition and a lot about life in Florida during her stay here.
My personal favorite work of Hurston's is by far Their Eyes Are Watching God. It's a beautiful novel. It's a love story about a woman who not only finds her true love, but she finds her own inner strength and her voice. And it just doesn't get any better than that.
Zora Neale Hurston is a part of my family lore. I did not really understand who she was in the literary realm until I was older. I actually read Their Eyes Are Watching God after our first son was born. That book was a Penguin classic that cost 99 cents. And when I was trying to, while my son was napping, that's how I read that book. I know Zora Neale Hurston from my mother's mother telling us about her companionship with Zora Neale Hurston, sometimes scaring me with folk tales from Zora Neale Hurston. In fact, my husband did literary research on Zora Neale Hurston. There are any number of people that were around me over a period of time, but I did not truly come to understand who she was until I read that book and then began to reconnect some of the impact that she had.
Throughout the 1930s and 40s, Zora Neale Hurston was celebrated as an accomplished and sometimes controversial writer, folklorist, and anthropologist. In 1948, Hurston was devastated when she was falsely accused of molesting the 10-year-old son of her former Harlem landlady. The charges were dismissed and the boy recanted his claims, but Hurston's reputation and career were destroyed. N.Y. Nethery.
She was falsely accused of molestation of a young boy. Falsely accused, completely vindicated, because she was not in the United States when the alleged abuse occurred or crime occurred. But the black press picked up the story after she was vindicated and really ruined her reputation. I think that she fled back to her home state.
After leaving New York, Hurston lived briefly in Miami and Belgrade before moving to Brevard County. She moved into the same O'Galley cottage where she had been happy and productive at the beginning of her career. When Hurston was unable to purchase her cottage in O'Galley, she moved to an apartment in Cocoa and then to a trailer on Merritt Island. During this period, she worked as a librarian. Virginia Lynn Moylan.
Hurston was fired from Patrick Air Force Base as a technical librarian, basically because she supported a whistleblower colleague who had turned in one of his supervisors for destroying documents without going through the proper authorization. So she collected unemployment for a while and finally was offered a job by a man named C.E. Bolin, who had founded a newspaper in Fort Pierce called the Fort Pierce Chronicle. So she moved very soon afterward and went to Fort Pierce to take the job in 1957.
Zora Neale Hurston died in January 1960 in the St. Lucie County Welfare Home. She was broke, forgotten, and her books were out of print. Florence M. Turcotte.
She was a ward of the county, and when she died, her effects thus were ordered burned. They were ordered destroyed. Nobody had come forward to claim them. A friend of hers, who was a sheriff's deputy, was going by the nursing home at the time and stopped and literally doused the flames and saved a bunch of her manuscripts that were about to be destroyed.
Today, Zora Neale Hurston is more popular than ever. The 33rd annual Zora Neale Hurston Festival of the Arts and Humanities began January 7th with a presentation by Hurston biographer Valerie Boyd. The outdoor festival portion of the event takes place January 28th through 30th, with the first day focused on students. Hurston's work is taught in high schools and colleges around the world. N.Y. Nethery.
An IB International Baccalaureate teacher of 11th grade students in Hampton, Virginia, is planning to bring her students to Eatonville for a field trip. And as we were talking about the planning and the budget, I said, well, will they be doing Disney or Universal? She said, no. We're coming to Eatonville, and that's the only reason that we're coming to Florida, is coming to Eatonville, and after we do this day, then we will be returning. So it's quite interesting to see that now, if you're going to be educated, you have to have read Zora Neale Hurston.
We spoke with Virginia Lynn Moylan, author of the book Zora Neale Hurston's Final Decade, Florence M. Turcotte, literary manuscripts archivist at the University of Florida, and N.Y. Nethery, founding director of the Association to Preserve the Eatonville Community and the Zora Neale Hurston Festival of the Arts and Humanities.
The captain got a pistol, he tried to play bad, but I'm gonna take it if it make me mad. I shove it over. Hey, hey, oh, can't you lie there? Ah, shack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a-lack-a, ah, can't you move it? Hey, 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 oh, can't you try?